Harry Caulfield, real two. So which was the ship that you went on from Liverpool?
I think it was called the Strathallan. But it was in the convoy, and as we got, we could see Tangiers with all the lights on, heading towards Tunis, yeah, and Gibraltar, we could see Gibraltar.
So you went from Liverpool, you went out in convoy.
Convoy.
You went right across the Atlantic.
Right across, round that terrible Cape Horn, I think it's called. With it. Right. Terrible.
What was it like on board the ship?
Pretty grim. There was hammocks, there was, oh, God knows how many hundred troops, you know, it was really packed and hardly any room. Hardly any room to move.
Yeah. And of course the U-boats were about, weren't they?
The U-boats were about. Yeah. We had one or two accompanies once or twice. They had the depth charge, you know.
Must have been quite nerve-wracking.
It was, yeah. But it was terrible down in the hole where, you know, where you got no beds and nothing like, you know, you just go down and... I forget how long it was going out there now. Quite a while.
Some weeks, I suppose.
Yeah. There's a little incident where as we got near Gibraltar, I was on the toilet, and all of a sudden the boat went. I thought we need torpedo the first thing, so I rushed back up the steps, and everybody's coming the other way to get the. They've got their life jackets, and I've got to get mine. I'm running against the tide, kind of business. So I've got me. Put me like a life jacket and dash back, and there's like the boat drill. We have to go to a certain boat and stand to attention. So I do that, and I'm saying, I'm only silly bugger there, no, no. So, everyone, there's people coming jumping over the side, and I looked at the boat had disappeared. The Javanese kitchen staff worked in the galley. They'd lowered the lifeboat away, they looked at all the lights, and I thought, what am I standing there for? But anyway, what had actually transpired, another ship in the convoy had hit it, lost a hell of a lot of material stuff, and we had to go backwards into Gibraltar.
Really? So your ship had been shunted by another
ship? In the convoy, yeah. Strathallan, I think the ship was called. Yeah. But I remember it particularly because of where I was with it.
So you went into Gibraltar?
In the Gibraltar.
Were you allowed off there?
Yes. While I was doing repairs to the ship.
How long did that take?
Quite a few days. Quite a few days.
What was Gibraltar like to a young lad like you?
Very impressive. Well, they took us up. I don't know if you've ever been to Gibraltar. Yeah, but they took us up the rocks where the caves, as they got a view of it, that showed us that. You know, I was impressed with Gibraltar.
It's the first time you've been abroad, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I'd hardly seen the sea. I was about, 17 or 18.
So then back on board the Strathallan.
The Strathallan, yeah.
And where to then?
Tunisia. A place called Bougie. Bougie. When we landed in there, we just had a bit of luck. The Luftwaffe, the Stukas, had been there, and there's sunk quite a few ships in the harbour. We missed that. I don't know how many hours we missed it, but is it that been and gone like, you know. And then
plenty of building. You got off at Tunisia, so where did they take you to straight away?
I'm marching now. I remember a lot of oranges sellers. The locals trying to slug us oranges. Everybody got diarrhea. where did we get to?
Did you go into a camp?
No. They took us straight into the line, actually. We marched and started to rain. And we went to a place called Buarada. And just up the road from there was this hill called... What's the hill called there? You will check you there. Grandstand. It was called Grandstand by us. It wasn't its real name. It was called Grandstand because, for obvious reasons, the enemy had got a good sight here. You could see, you could move, like, you could, he'd see you if you made it move. It was that close to each other.
So what sort of positions did you go into? Was this trenches?
Trenches. You dug your own, like, you know, there'd been none there before. Sometimes it was hard. It was rocky, you know, you couldn't get down very well.
Yeah. Which company were you in?
A company.
A company.
Yeah. I was in B company going out, and I finished up in A company.
Right. Yeah. So, do you remember your first night there
Well, rather peculiar, actually. I'm jumping the gun. Before we got to Grandstand, which is a place called Red Roof Farm, which is on the Goobler Plain, on the Goobler. And it was Christmas Eve.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And we went to, it was like a big French foreign legion fort, this farm. We got a big brick wall around it. Mm-hmm. And I was on guard, standing, you know, we had the legionnaire standing on top of the place and looking out. Mm-hmm. And we heard these footsteps coming. And there's a password, black, and the answer was night. I'll always remember that, black. I said black, and I waited for them to, if they didn't say night, you know, they were Germans, like night. I remember that was ours. They trundled off, they'd gone about 300 or 400 yards, and all hell that was let loose. They walked into an ambush, and I thought, what the funny thing, saying black night. That was Christmas, that was Boxing Day. Boxing Day that was.
Yeah.
And, I say there was all killed. They were still there. They were still lying. You know, apparently, the one that got back, one of them that got back, a fellow called Crush, he died later. Said the Germans were waiting for him. They said, "Hello, Tommy, we've been waiting for you." And of course, they run straight into bang, bang.
Shot him. Right on patrol.
On
they?
Patrol.
Yeah.
Not one. One or two got back, but they died later.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. And the next day, they did a company attack. To find out where these Germans was.
Yeah. So you did a company attack. This is your first proper action.
Yeah.
So how did they prepare you for that? What did they tell you?
Well, you just go. You get up and go. Like, you have no option.
It was in daylight, was it?
Daylight, yeah.
So you didn't know exactly where the Germans were.
No.
You
knew this was the early stage of the Tunisian campaign. In 1942, November. The actual finish of the campaign was 43.
Yeah.
But,
so what was it like that first time?
Tough.
Yeah.
Tough.
So
you wonder if it's you were going to be your turn.
So the corporal would go first, would he? And you'd all...
Sergeant.
Sergeant go first.
In the section.
Yeah.
Then the corporal. Mm. Then the other ranks, the back.
Yeah.
Waddling behind.
Yeah. What weapon were you using?
Rifle, only a rifle.
Run forward with
the rifle. Yeah. There's one of my best mates, he got killed there, Sammy Kane, I remember him.
So where were the Germans? Did you get to their position?
They found out where they was, but we'd got no tanks. I suddenly realised it was out on not easy tank country, a place called the Goobler Plain. It was flat, dead flat. And they got no, by this early stages, they got no tanks to combat, so they realised we're in a silly position and took us out of this Red Roof farm onto Grandstand. This is where we come to Grandstand and took us on a hill called Grandstand.
Yes.
And which is where we stayed. This is the bit that you ain't going to believe. We stayed there for about 10 weeks.
Really?
Without relief. Without.
Really? And the Germans were.
They knew you know where they were.
How far away were they?
Quarter mile. You could, there's a place called Tootreel, you could see from Grandstand.
Mm.
And the Germans, in their infinite wisdom, chopped it down. Because it was a guide.
Yeah.
You know, it stood out to the two trees. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what was a day like then while you were on Grandstand Hill? How did the day go?
You used to get the rations. The compost rations, though, I think there was a big box, you may have heard it, between 14. And so the days were just dug in. Intermittent shelling. A little thing you might be interested in, you might not, but just a few yards from my trench, there was a wooden pole. This was the toilet.
over another trench.
So you used to think, if you wanted to go to the toilet, you think, well, I wonder if you'll open up with it, because the Germans would shell intermittently. You never know when they was going to shell, and it was so like you thought, if I get up and get stuck, what you had to do is you make a quick, I was thinking, I've got to get back to that trench. And, I say there was a lot of shelling there. and grandstand. Mm.
So and I suppose every day was the same.
Every day was the same. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, and he was sleeping in the slit trench. He's tuned to a trench. I was sitting like that. He'd be sitting there. And then during the night, he'd do 2 hours on, 2 hours off, 2 hours on, 2 hours. And sometimes he poured, and I mean poured, down the bloody rain. Like, you know. So he used to come down the side of the hill, we used to have biscuit tins.
Bailing out.
Quick, if we didn't bail out, that's because when it rains in town, it really rains. You've seen that, haven't you? Since the war, like it really, and it's like that glutinous mud, horrible stuff, you know, stuck everywhere. So that's how you lived. Around 8 to 10 weeks, that was your home. No relief.
No. I mean, it must have been really hard. Did anybody not cope with it, you know, go missing?
Well, there's one or two deserted, yeah. Really? One or two deserted, yeah.
Did you think about it?
No. No, I wouldn't have that on my mind. I wouldn't. No, I've said that many times. Many times I felt, you know. I wouldn't have deserted.
How did the, you know, sergeant sort of talk to you? Did you get any information or from the junior officers, you know, to encourage you? Because it must have been quite an ordeal.
Oh, yes, they set an example. I mean, the source for this gentleman, if you go to see him, he'll tell you some interesting stories. Mm.
So he
set an example. I mean, him and a fellow called Tommy Wood. We used to be sitting in those little trenches on the grandstand. And they'd stroll by, they were out for a picnic, because he was a real, this Oswald is a real military character. I can't even know the type of man. Real dedicated. And funny enough, Woody's one of his biggest mates got killed in a place called Tangutia. And they said, I'm running my story now, and I? But I go, well, I'm thinking about it. Place Tangutia, still tuned this year. But Tangutia is a horrible area for the Germans.
Okay. Really, well, we'll come to that one
later.
Yeah. So on grandstand then, I mean the junior officers would let you know what was happening, would they? And you know.
Pretty well. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
No. How did you get on with the junior officers? Did you chatty or?
Well, we had one actually. Come from the ranks. His name was Jamieson. Did he come from Ashton? Well, he had a kind of a ladies. Up, didn't they, on the corner of Victoria Road. Uh-huh. I've seen him once since the war. But I think listening to him talk, I think he was ostracised a little bit. I don't think he was accepted.
By the other officers, you mean?
I don't think he was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the feel with him. Like, you know, I liked him, because he always used to say to me, you know, I've got a big appetite. Come on, court. When they order the up, you know, an order up, so they go around and ask if the food's all right. I mean, you can't say anything, can you? That's what you get. And you say, bookshish, go for it. Come here, more bookshish. So I found him a likeable kind of bloke. And I don't know whatever happened to him, but I just had a book from the library. The Irish Youth League's got a Fagabala. He's Irish for clear the way. It's an honour they earned some years ago, apparently. Uh-huh. What was I going to say? This other way. What was we going to be?
So it says Jameson.
Pardon?
Jameson.
Jameson. Yeah. So you were saying, did they get on with the other officer?
Mm.
I said, that's the only opinion, occasion that I can...
He had a sort of Birmingham accent, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a plumber, Brummer.
Most of the officers were sort of posh.
Plumber. But... But it was Horsfall's other base name. He got killed. There is. But they were brave, you know what I mean? They set an example, most of them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and, I mean, Horsfall had stride about with the shells coming around, like he'd walk
about. So were there many casualties in the trenches on Grandstand? I mean, quite a few.
There was one or two attacks made from there. So the Germans attacked Grandstand. That's what I say with these things they're showing on telly. They only show you the main advance in April and May 43. They don't show you all the minor skirmishes, the people lost their lives. You know, so many as well. There's three or four attacks.
Yes.
On Grandstand Hill.
Did they attack at night or was
night and daytime? Daytime, but nighttime mostly. Mm. I don't know if you realise, they stand to first light and they stand to last light. Did you know that? Yeah. Because that's the most likely time to attack. So that was about the time that they came once with the tanks, heading across the Gobelat Plain from Trutree Hill, with the pennants waving and the Germans sticking their... No, you've got to admire them, like, you know. Yeah. They didn't come for Grandstand. They switched to another little place that couldn't be held. But they tried to hold it. They learned the hard way, like, you know, the Germans got amongst them. They caused quite a bit of damage.
What was the first thing you'd know of an attack?
Shouting. The Jerry, they're shouting all the while. Guttural, terrible really sound, yeah. Yeah.
So they weren't creeping up quietly then?
Oh, no. They creep quietly, but once they get amongst you, like, they, you know, they, I think they try to morale effect.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm.
So did you get involved in hand-to-hand fighting there?
Not that close, no.
Mm. Your rifle?
And down.
And grenades,
yeah.
Did you use grenades then?
Yeah, you did use grenades, yeah.
Mm. How effective were they? I suppose it depends.
Very effective if you're close enough. Like, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Mm. What did you feel about, you know, I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't have thought about killing people, you know,
until
you were in that situation. I mean, did you hesitate the first time?
No, you wouldn't hesitate. No. If they got a gun line, then you got them, isn't it? It's survival. Yeah. Survival.
What sort of backup did you have? The food came through on Grandstand Hill. The food was
a new thing, like, different from the First World War. The old, it comprised of tin of fruit, in a McConaughey stew. You got your tea, bar of chocolate, and you got your little burner to make your own. Yeah, you were self-sufficient, actually. Mm-hmm. It would be between, before the so many boxes come up, I mean boxes, it would be between 14 men's ration. Mm-hmm. It was adequate. The only thing we missed was trying to have greasy bacon and biscuits. You know, you never got any bread like it. You know, it did come up once or twice, but very, very rarely, the bread.
And what about the water? Was that heavily rationed?
Pretty well. You washed, you shaved, and you tin helmet. I shaved him with tin helmet. Oh, you know, yes, the water was rationed.
So it was quite a hard 10 weeks then?
It was hard.
Yeah.
Tough.
Why do you think you weren't relieved?
Well, no shortage of troops. Right. Actually, the division I was in, the 78th Div, it's only just been that reunion's only just stopped having up at the Victory Club in London. But they said the First Army, which was the Germanician Army, the 78th Div was the First Army. There was no reliefs. Hadn't got enough men. I was holding a very long line, actually, a lot of ground. I mean, the 78th, they've got a book for Old Years to Us, dear.
Yeah.
You've read that, have you?
No, I haven't.
Give it a good disc. Over the Battle of the Peaks, they call them, these four attacks, I mean. But it was continually. Mm. You couldn't amble about. If you moved over that hill, like, you were dead.
So you were pinned down, really, weren't you?
Pinned down, more or less. You've got to stay in the trench.
And, of course, I suppose you had no idea how long you were going to be there.
No.
It was endless.
No, no. I remember one lad. I can see him now. He was having his breakfast, his biscuits. And like a fool, he was sitting outside his trench. I thought, what are you doing? Anyway, a shell come over, killed him. And then they buried him like... Oh, that was another thing. The Arabs, they'd build, when they buried somebody in the field, they just bury them temporarily, put a cross, name, number, and all that. And if the Wagner, we like to call them, they'd dig them up with the boots.
Really?
And yes, I was caught doing that. Yeah. You know, there was thieving buggers. You know, I notified it even now.
So did they come round? Did you see them when you were in your trenches? Were the Arabs about then? Or?
Oh, Arabs. Was, not in great numbers, isolated one or two. But I remember one. See, I'm overrunning my story. They took us back. I say, well, you were just on the mat for a long while and no relief. They did take us out of the line once to a place. We could still hear the shells, though. We could still hear the. It was only like bivouacs. It was just a rest. Now, the Arabs used to come mixing down there, selling us eggs and all that game, you know. And I often wondered if they went back to the Germans because of what happened. My company were there for a week. Then I think it was our company then come back into this rest camp. We went out. They hadn't been there above a day or two. German parachutes landed smack amongst them at night. Of course, I've got the initiative, like they've brought people out without any trousers and they've run away to the night, you know, as they was, them that were still prisoner. But I always think of that Arab. I thought, I wonder if he went back and said something. They were suspected of it. Because they didn't like us. I mean, the women in Egypt, the lads with them, you might have heard this, they threatened to throw black in over you. You know, your nice khaki. If you didn't have your shoes blacked, let's throw the black. Had you heard that? Didn't you know that? No. That was, yeah. Now I know, I've had first hand experience there in Egypt because I've run away from them.
Yeah. So, how much sleep did you manage to get on grandstand?
Well, you snatched it when you could, more or less. I mean, in the evening, it was dark, you've got no option, like, but just to sort of lie there, kind of business. And unless you wanted to walk out and risk it. Two on, two off. Same as all our night. If you could sleep 4 to 5 hours a night, like, you know, depends on what was happening. Mm. You know. Mm. But, I mean, a lot of people now would hardly believe that you was that long there, but we was. Mm. We didn't move.
So eventually, were you relieved? Or?
We moved. Then where do we go from there? Oh, the main attack was coming in. That was it. The big push down to Tunis. So where did they take us in? Oh, that was it. We're getting up towards Tangutia. You'll call Tangutia. Jebel Tangutia. The first attack was Jebel Mahdi. The first big attack, real big attack. And a place called Jebel Mahdi. Mm-hmm.
What did you do in that attack?
We was moving up, actually, moving along this gully, and a friend of mine was coming back. They'd already been up there, and we was relieving them going up. And I was singing Chin Up Tommy Atkins, you're a stout fella. You know, kidding, kidology. And this kid said to me, he said, he's just coming back down. He said, you won't be bleeding singing that when you get up there. He said, I'll change it because it was murder. Once we got near from the head of this gully, we could see bodies lying about. They'd engineers the night before, they'd been clearing mines, and obviously some had missed. And we got towards the Jebel, and that's when the gyroscopters, they saw it, obviously spotted us. You're lying flat down on there. And you feel with the mortar bomb. I don't know if it's just me. Is that what's going to land pluck in the back of your neck? That's the feeling you get lying like that.
Yeah.
And psh, bang, bang, bang. And then you're glad you want to move forward. You want to move forward to get out of it. Like, you know. Then you get up onto the hill, and then for some reason the jellies collapsed. They started running up it. They've gone. That was Jebel Mahdi. That was the first main attack. So that was took Jebel Mahdi. Without too many problems. Then we went towards Tangutia, an ill call Tangutia. Not the same day, this was a bit later, it was stabilised. Oh, while we were on Jebel Mahdi, they always send a patrol out to check that there's no Germans in the vicinity. And they sent this patrol out, they went through a little gully, mistake, because if the Germans, they got all the gullies, what they call, spotted, you know, what they registered.
Yeah.
So that anybody moving that gully, they got you right away. Even if it was dark, they got you. So they moved into this gully and they've gone into a mortar barrage. And the one fellow, I can I always tell this story because I remember him so well. You got a got all this shine blowing it. Blowing out of it. I mean, when you say things like that, you know, it sticks there. Mm-hmm. I've been to his grave, and he's buried at Mary Elbab, Bab, he said. But that was a little experience. That's when you start realizing that it ain't all flag waving. And, you know, and when you see men that you've seen, you're talking to them, and it's the next minute they're gone.
Yeah.
That was Tangutia.
I suppose you get angry then as well, do you?
Pardon?
Do you get angry then as well?
I can't say you get angry. It's all a pattern in it, like, you know, I can't say you get angry. Well, your survival is the main thing, like, you know. You always think, I can't go on much longer, I'm going to get it, you know what I mean? You always think that, you know. So the main attack was going in onto Jebel Marda, then there was Jebel Tangutia. This is where Jana was full, that fellow telling me. Lost his best friend. But
what rank was John Hall's full then?
Lieutenant Colonel. Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Colonel. Mm-hmm. I can't think of his mate's name now. I've seen his grave, but he's buried at Medellin.
He was an officer, was he?
He was an officer.
Yeah. What rank was he?
A captain.
Uh-huh.
But they made this night attack on a place called, in English it's Dragon's Tooth, it's Kefeltur. And it was a terrible, to look at it as a battlefield, ominous looking place, you know. There was no cover, you know what I mean, everything was open, anything that moved could be seen. And he's made a challenge, this German position, amongst these rocks. And they're all shouting, Fagabella, Fagabella. And John Horsfall said he would have loved that as he died, as he came down, he said, to have heard them shouting that.
Yeah. So that was your regimental cry, was it?
That's it, yeah. Fagabella. There's a book, quite a good one, actually, Clear the Way. Somebody's written, that's what it means, Clear the Way. I said that was all sorts, mate. He'll tell you, if you go to see him, he'll tell you about that. He lost his bed. And he said, funnily enough, in his book, he said, it didn't seem right that at the morning of the attack wasn't even a night attack. He said, it didn't seem right somehow. He seemed introspective, not himself. And funny he should get killed, because he'd had a few narrow escapes. As though he knew, he said, and you'll read that if you ever read one of your books, as though he knew that he was going to get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that action, how long did it take? Was this days or hours?
Oh, it was only hours. Hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it wasn't really to run over. I was going for a place called Longchamp Hill, well-known battlefield. It was lost. The guards took it. The Yanks relieved them. The Yanks lost it. But the Germans held on to it mostly through the whole of the campaign. So as we're coming down from Jebel Lang and as we've been told, Imadi and Tangutia, that's coming down towards the main objective, Longstop Hill, which is the one they haven't been able to get them off. Like.
Yeah.
They found out when they got on it why that was so hard. When they got on the top of the hill and they dug in, that was overlooked by another hill. But nobody had noticed this. Once they took the position, that they could open up on them again. So obviously it reminded German hands for the whole of the campaign, Longstop Hill. It wasn't his real name, though, was it?
No.
They called it Longstop for the obvious reason, because it was a Longstop.
Right. Okay, I'll stop you. Harry Caulfield, End of Reel 2.